Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. I'd like to talk about another Monk Blues, Straight Note Chaser. Now, a lot of people play Straight Note Chaser here. By here, I mean in F. Monk played it, like all of the blues that he wrote, in the key of B flat. So it's first recorded in 1951 on the Genius of Modern Music, and then it's recorded a number of other times. I like the version on 5 by Monk by 5, this quintet recording of five Monk tunes. So one of the things that people often kind of mess up on this tune or have trouble with is the phrasing, because it is unusual. I brought this hi-hat over here to play the phrasing. Phrasing, that's where the melody falls. Now, what's interesting to think about it is it's not really a pattern, right? It's like two phrases, two different endings, right? One where it goes to D and one where it ends on E on D flat. So, the way I've always heard it is that D flat is bringing you to that E flat 7 chord in the second bar of the blues. So when you have that phrase, it kind of sounds like a 4 chord. And he does it again there, although it's not. He doesn't use the. He follows it up with that phrase, but he truncates the phrase. He cuts it off. So why is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. On the fourth beat, he doesn't continue. Because that would be, he'd be playing that D natural on the E flat 7 chord. Not so great. Not forbidden, but it wouldn't sound great in this context. That would sound like. Right? So it just, that last note is left off. Then it sounds good. It actually sounds like an anticipation. It comes on 4. And then he follows it up with that phrase. Because you're on the four chord for a longer time, right? You're on there for a couple bars. And then he comes back. Once he comes back to the one chord, he starts doing the other for the first phrase again. So why does he start where he starts? One, two, three, four. He extends the phrase the third time. And the third time, it's on like the two, like the C minor. So, and then he plays this chromatic line that pauses on the A. Why would it pause on the A? Because that's a third of the dominant chord. So he's outlining an F7. He pauses on the A and then ends on the E flat, which is the tritone. And then finishes it off with the last, by coming back to the first phrase again. Side note, there's a page in my book about the chromatic scale and possible fingerings for it. I play the chromatic scale like this. Let's say I'm starting on A and going up to C, fifth position. This is part of what happens here. So to stay in position, you could play a chromatic scale this way. Per string. That's pretty convenient, but you're kind of moving up you're moving down the neck as you go up the scale, and the frets get bigger. It's kind of a weird, for me, it's a weird feeling. I like to stay in the position, so I'll slide into it with a finger. I mean, I'm picking both notes, but not necessary here. And then coming down, opposite, coming into with my pinky. And the reason for that is because I feel like pushing the pinky out, or pushing the first finger out, to me feels more awkward. It's just my hand feels awkward. It's not for everybody, but I try to do this evenly, and then with accents, you know, maybe. Good, because it's a weird number how long it is. I think that's 27 notes or something like that, so it works good in threes but not in fours. In any case, it's a good practice to work on those accents to get it even, but it comes about in this melody, right? Now on the recording, I did a very abstract version of this tune that had to, where I was just playing the beginnings of the phrases, and I was playing it an octave lower. So I wasn't playing. Now I'm ghosting the first note because I don't have it on the guitar, because it's an F. I mean, sorry, I do have it. but I don't want to go all the way down there to get it. I want to go. See, I want to be doing this stuff here, and I can't do that down in the bottom position. So I just ghost it. So I'm not playing the full melody anyway. I'm just playing a kind of a riff off the melody, the rhythms of the melody. Like if I play just the beginnings of each melody phrase, it would sound like this. Maybe. There. See. So I'm gonna put the hi-hat just on the one. There's too many hi-hats. Performance video where I kind of work this up a little bit. Let's see. I think I do it kind of fast on the recording, but that's just for fun, you know. The idea is to be able to play the melody and the phrases in the right place. So one thing I'll do to see if somebody has the phrases in the right place, I'll have them just sing the melody, but clap some other rhythm against it. Like a simple one might be 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm just clapping quarter note, and then rest. So I'm kind of clapping in three against the melody. 1, 2, 3, 4. And like something like this, maybe a more complicated rhythm like a clave. I do things like that to internalize the melody. I wouldn't be able to do that if I'm still thinking about the melody and counting and anything like that. It has to be internalized to be able to play something against it. So two interesting exercises from this song, rhythmic placement and trying to do something against that rhythm, and then working with the chromatic scale. That's an important one to try to get together however way you you do it, because the guitar doesn't exactly lend itself that easily to playing those things with the tuning and fourths. Okay, see you next time. I'm going to be traveling for the next week, and I will get something from the road, hopefully. I'll be in Mexico. All right, see you later. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.